Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
I have been trying to teach you about some, it's one of the controversial topics in the Christendom. But I know that the Lord has brought you understanding of His Word. Last week, I did mention something about tithing under the gospel or tithing in the gospel. Now, a lot of people are teaching. I know some of them, they've got some level of revelation, but they are mixing it with something that is not supposed to be. Now, I tell you the truth that the Lord Jesus said, that the church and the fivefold ministry is supposed to prepare the church unto a point. And then we that have been sent into the end time prophetic agenda of the El Shaddai, the God of superabundance is supposed to lift the people up unto the fullness of the stature, the fullness of Christ Jesus, the fullness of His stature, the fullness of the measure of His stature. So that means that when we talk about Jesus's hence, we are supposed to be the fullness of His hands. There are people who are supposed to be the fullness of His body, His chest, His stomach, His thigh, His legs, His feet. The fullness. The Bible says, of Him that filleth all in all. We are supposed to be the manifestation of the fullness of the body of Jesus. So we are called the body of Christ. And we have been operating below our call. And we have been operating below our assignment. But thanks be unto God that the Lord said, the battle is not of human beings, but the battle is of the Lord. So He brought in people, ushered in the army of God. And they are teaching the people of God and raising them up to function fully like Jesus Christ. And so the hands of the Lord must function like Him. The feet of the Lord must function like Him. So it is important you understand the fullness of the Word. You have to love the Word than any other thing. I wonder how people love the ministrations of the or the products of the Word more than the Word itself. Because the Word can make you anything that you want to talk about. The Word of God is so profound and huge and big. The manifestation of it brings glory to His holy name. So the more people love the Word, the more people love the Word, the more there is a manifestation of the Word of God. That is what the Bible says. That is what the Bible says. A great test and trial is about to befall the church. It's a test for the church. It's a trial for the church. In the next 1 or 2 months, it's going to be. But as we petition the Lord, He says, don't worry, but in the 3rd month, I pray that people will imbibe the Word. Jesus, what is the solution? He said, my Word. Let them take my Word, daily dose of my Word. My Word will be a shield and a defense for them. What if you get any miracle and then you don't have the Word? And something happens around you and then you are gone. You leave the miracle behind for somebody who did not suffer to use it. I pray that you will love the Word of God greatly. I say, I pray that you will love the Word of God greatly. Are you hearing my point, somebody? If you are with the Word, nothing can come against you. If you are in the Word and you walk in the light of His Word, nothing at all can overcome you. Nothing at all can make your life miserable. Nothing. Because you love the Word. You have set your heart on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Shadabro, Sendebasha. I told you something about the Word of the Lord. When you study tight and carefully, you will notice that Titan, you know, the reason for this teaching, because the Lord told me, and I said it, that I need to do this teaching recorded and then sent to all over the world. So all the players involved, if you don't want to be questioned in the day of the Lord, everybody must work hard to be able to make sure that this is done. I'm not joking, I'm telling you as it is. I receive command and I give it. So initially, I said it to you. It's important to Jesus. Otherwise, he will not just waste his time and appear in the realm to speak about it. Now, there have been... When we all are taken, or when we die to and go to be with the Lord, or when the sounding of the trumpet comes and the remnant that is left is taken to heaven, and then we go there, we will understand the principles that men defiled. Titan is not of the earth. Titan is from the heavens. The same way the tabernacle is not an earthly principle, it's of the earth. It is not. The same way the altar of the Lord is not an earthly principle, it's of the Lord. So men who build altars, living altars, are not men of the earth. They are men of the spirit. Whether the diabolic or the demonic side or the side of God, they are men of the spirit. Sometimes you are dealing with men who are disputing about God, but in the night they go to their own God and then they act whatever substance they have on their evil altars as against you. There are several companies, they don't want to entertain prayer. But the people who matter in the company, in the night, that is where you see the kind of prayers they do. The kind of engagement they do. Yet the Christians will be there and will have a few days. They will just do whatever they like as though they do not love their God. Kabodo Shidiada. But the person giving the command that I do not want you to pray to any God has a God that he prays to. And he's influencing the nature of events. He's influencing the systems that be. Yet, he will tell you not to engage your own God. An error. So, tithing is not an earthly principle. The reason why tithing is fought than all the other principles is because of the purpose it seeks to serve. Remember I told you when I started teaching on Sunday FM, I said that the Lord took me to a place and I was hearing a discussion of devils. And then they said that for years we have tried to attack the church and we have not been successful because the shepherds have been gelling together the church with their message. Now, let's focus on the agenda of attacking the people who are shepherds. Let's begin to strike the shepherds and their messages and defile them. When they are defiled before their people will scatter. If you remember, I don't know how many of you heard me on Sunny FM and other radio stations that I was teaching this. It's something I was taking to watch. And the Lord said, watch it and go warn my people. When I was speaking it, you see people who are without revelation still fighting their own life. Then we saw, and I told you that if Ghana is not careful, we are going to go into a post-Christian era. It will be so quick. But then we started interceding and the Lord says, I shall begin to take your people. The people that the people see, who are called the celebrities in your midst, I shall begin to take them. I use them for my purpose. Do you remember that? The reason why Titan is marginalized and cast down is because of the purpose he served. And you know the purpose he served? It serves the purpose of the altar. The people who serve the altar, who serve you around the altar. Somebody like Minister Prince. He can be corrupted if you allow him to go work anywhere. Because this Minister Prince, Minister Elsie, Jessica, the rest of them, if you allow them, because they are entire choir people that are working, but there are certain specific people who are priests. Well, if you have eyes, you will see that they wear garments they are supposed to minister to the body of Christ all over the world, not only our ministry. And so they must sit in a particular room with gadgets and begin to rehearse and worship and pray and tango. So when they worship, they can lead the people of God to the people of God to the Lord easily. So we can transcend beyond our natural environment and go straight to the throne room of grace. For worship is like sacrifice. When a man can lead the people of God into worship, the people are passed. It's a sacrifice. That is why it's not easy to be lifting up holy hands for 1 hour. Because it's a sacrifice. But when you understand it, lifting up holy hands may even be higher than any kind of sacrifice you want to do. It has a role it plays. That is why a man of God who prays a lot and lift up the holy hands, their hands are anointed. Take it from me, because I don't even need to lay my hands on you. By the stretching of that hand, you will see the difference. But the things I do that I've been taught, when I teach you, you don't do them. It's difficult for you to do. I'm tired. But that is when you enter into a dimension and things are easy for you. That is when you enter into a serious dimension and things begin to escalate in the realm of the spirit for you. So tithing is not an earthly principle. Adam did not pay tithe. All the human beings from Adam did not pay tithe except Abraham, who started it. And the Bible calls Abraham my friend. God says he's my friend. Now, if somebody is a friend, then there is what keeps the friendship is communication. That means Abraham learned tithe of God. So when Melchizedek came to the earth realm to collect the tithe, all the tithe of Abraham, it became a covenant. And the Bible said we are Abraham's seed. So even logically, you have to understand that if you are Abraham's seed, then Abraham gave the tithe to the higher, because the Bible said the lesser is blessed of the better. So Abraham, who had the promises, had to pay tithe. So Abraham, who had been given the promises, it was necessary that he pay the tithe, a tenth part of all, to Melchizedek, so that he can take it to heaven. Melchizedek is not an earthly man. That means that Melchizedek as a high priest, who is in order of Jesus Christ, could not have come to the earth realm without him being sent by God. So Melchizedek, is it something that you are disputing that is so important? The man that God called his friend was made to pay it. And the person that came for it was Melchizedek, a high priest from heaven. So do you think it was not important? If it was not important, why did he come? And the excuse is that we are under grace. And so when we are under grace, we don't pay tithe. Let me tell you the truth. The Bible says in the book of Galatians that the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, which is actually the operations into grace. Now, anybody who do not have faith cannot enter grace. Now, grace is grace because faith is there. Without faith, there's no one who can enter grace. Because grace is such that you don't need to do anything, but you need to believe. What you need to do with grace is to just believe. So anything you hear from God, for it to become relevant in your life, you just have to believe. The Bible says if you believe, you are saved. If you believe, you are made one. If you don't believe, you are damned or you are condemned. Period. There is no in between. So for grace to stand as grace, it is connected by faith. And then faith for it to work, it works by love. It works by love. So you need to have love. And not love of spouse love and all that. No, I'm talking about genuine, legitimate love of God. Love for his things. So the reason why you must have love is because you love the institution of the church, or the church, which is the educational arm of God, which is responsible for raising the people of God to function like Christ Jesus. So there are people ordained in place, put in place and in charge, who must not do any other thing except the work dedicated to them in the temple. The people who play instrument every day, they are rehearsing. Why? So that they can stay on top and play well. For the worship to be what? The worship is to be rendered pure and holy. If you leave them, they become church prostitutes. They play for this church. They go and pray for this church. They see this lady. Like people influence them. They become the swines of the church. And many of the churches are being led into worship by swines. Because women who are swine have slept with them, defiled all of them.
And they are the ones leading the church, and emotions are the ones coming into play. No fire. You see somebody leading worship and say, the fire of God is in this place. You say, it's just what? Worse. There's no fire. You can feel nothing. And the church, you know, is just, you know, happy emotionally, and they are excited emotionally, which doesn't touch God. Because emotions remain on earth. It takes spirituality to touch God. And spirituality is not how many times you shake your body and how well you speak. It's not even the tongues you speak. Spiritual things are not measured in that way. It is measured purely by the word of the Lord, in purity of heart and purpose. Why are you standing to worship? Why are you flowing in dynamism? Is it because you want us to applaud you? Or because you want to reach heaven? Is it because there is a mandate placed on your shoulders and your heart to take the people in worship to God? Any other mindset is bogus and it's not needed in the church. And it's about time we tell the church the truth. They may not love it. But the Bible says, when you eat the word, it shall be bitter in your stomach, but be sweet on your mouth. So it is easy when it comes to the blessing of Abraham for us to confess. We are Abraham's seed. But when it comes to the commitment side, we fight it. Now, what gave Abraham that kind of status that you can confess that I'm Abraham's seed? Because of the promises. But the Bible says, he that had the promises paid tithe to Melchizedek. He that had the promises, he paid tithe to Melchizedek. So if you come here and teach what Jesus did not teach against, what you are doing is that you are disproving the word of God, the potent word of God, from the foundation. The gospel we preach, which is the gospel of grace, was actually prophesied. The foundation of this gospel is not Jesus Christ. No, it's Abraham. Because to Abraham and his seed was the promise made. And Jesus came and they were disputing about him and they said, we have not been in bondage before. For we are Abraham's children. And Jesus said, no way. You are not Abraham's children. For if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Apostle, open the scripture for me quickly. He said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, Abraham did not do works of law. Because Abraham did not live under the law. The law was 430 years, later. And even when you read about Moses, Moses never followed the law. Moses gave the people the law, but he himself did not follow the law. Moses believed. So Moses he entered into the rest of God. He did not go to Canaan, because Canaan was not the rest of God. I pray we ourselves will understand the gospel we preach. Thank you, Lord. I said, I pray we will understand the gospel that we witness about. Read carefully about Moses. They were told that he that lives by the law shall live. He that does not obey the law shall die. Moses said, nobody can go to the tabernacle and say, you are consecrated and you are wearing a special garment. Now Moses charged Aaron, if you dare take the censer and offer a profane fire, you shall die. So much so that the consecrated sons of Aaron, okay, because Aaron's sons were Itamar, Eleazar, Nadab, Abihu, 4. They were consecrated as priests, and their father was the high priest. And Moses was the one who consecrated them. And before they were to enter the tabernacle of God and go to the holy place and the most holy place, the holy place which is called sanctuary, and the most holy place which is the dwelling place of God, they had to wear special garment. They had to be atoned for their sins, and they had to be washed. And Moses had to consecrate them before they can go there. Now, even the two sons, so far as their father is in the most holy place, they are in the sanctuary assisting their father so that their father can come out. And they have to put rope at the base or the waist of their father. If anything happens, they will put their father's body out. But when something happens and Moses is not around, because Moses was not living among the people, he was living on the mountain, they have to go to the mountain to call Moses to come. And when Moses comes, he has not brushed his teeth. He has not sanctified himself. He's not even doing anything. In fact, he came from the midst of his two wives and entered the holy place and then brought anything he wanted to bring out. There was no measurement to the man of God, Moses. So when Miriam and Aaron insulted Moses, God said, "How dare you? If there is a prophet among you, I speak to them in dreams and visions and Mara, whatever level. But my servant Moses, I sit and speak to him face to face. How dare you that you were not afraid of such a man? And you have spoken against him, spoke against him." And the Lord said, "From today you shall go outside the camp and you shall be leprous." You shall be what? Leprous with what? As white as snow. But Aaron was wearing the garment of the high priest. If he had been cursed, it would have affected any high priest who would come, even including Jesus, our Lord. Because then God can lay curse on high priest. So he left him. His two sons went to offer profane fire with the same censer, with the same fire on the altar. But because they had gone to drink alcohol, they had gone to do some things, so God charged their sins with them. Because if you were not atoned for your sins, you don't get closer. They went to help because the fire of God was killing people. They wanted to intervene. They were killed by the same fire. And when they were killed, nobody, everybody was afraid now, including Aaron. They couldn't go closer. Moses was the one who came to stop God and mandated people to take their body away. They were dead. So it was left with Eleazar and what? Itamar. But Moses was not measured by the law. Why? Because he believed. And the day that Moses did an error of faith issue, it was an error of faith, Moses' assignment was cut short. "Moses, you shall not go with the people to Canaan, but you shall stand on the mountain and look at Canaan and scan Canaan and defend the people." Moses went to the mountain, looked at the Canaan, and saw all the future of the people and came to tell them that when I stood, I saw Canaan. What is happening in Canaan land, which shall be called Jerusalem, which shall be called Israel, and the capital shall be called Jerusalem, is this one. So he came and prophesied about them tribe by tribe, told them what to befall them. That is a prophet. Because God said that because you have caused the people not to believe in me, because you yourself did not believe in me with this act that you did. What was the act? God said, "Stretch forth the rod upon the rock." Moses just went there, whether he forgot or not, nobody knows. He tried the rock. "We can provide you with water." The water came out. It came out. So if it was not faith, the water could not come out. But the Bible says, God says, "Moses, you have caused the people not to believe in me." Why? Because you could have stretched it forth. It was a demonstration of faith in me. Because of that. Just because of that. Because you made the people to worry you. You didn't stay in my word. Just one word. Imagine the guy walked with God. It was one mistake of faith. It was nothing to do with law. No law issue. He said, "You will not go there." So Moses walked by faith. Check it and see. Not any law. Because the Bible said the law doesn't make anything perfect. It took God himself to come and bury Moses. Moses did not go to Abraham's bosom. Nobody saw Moses. Elijah did not go to Abraham's bosom. And the two appeared in the transfiguration with Jesus. As a prophet. as a prototype. John, James, and Peter saw and bore witness. And the witness was true. That this is Moses, this is Elijah, and this is Jesus. Let's make three tabernacles. And Jesus said, the reason why they came, you don't understand. It's not any tabernacle you have to make. Because they are waiting for me. I am their tabernacle. So you don't make tabernacle for them. Because I am here. I am their tabernacle. Are you hearing that? Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. The tent that they pitched, Moses pitched, it was Jesus. He showed them. He showed them Jesus. Including even the church. The church is represented in the sanctuary as the seven golden candlesticks. Which in the book of Revelation chapter 1, the Bible says, Jesus said, and the golden candlesticks you saw in my hand represent the seven churches of Jesus Christ. That is when we talk about the body of Jesus, it is compacted, the compartment is seven. So, churches belong to one, seven, to make it seven. So when you check about the composition of his body, it's seven members that makes together one body. So your body dimension, as you are sitting there, is in the prototype of Jesus' body, and it is seven. Seven things working together. And he is the head. And the Bible says he's in the midst. That's why the head is in the midst of the body. That's what he has done. A profound statement. So you see, when you read the gospel, you will never read the gospel without seeing Abraham in the gospel. You cannot understand the gospel without seeing Abraham. Because the Bible says the scripture foreseen that God will justify the Gentiles. In the gospel, he preached the gospel to Abraham. So Abraham was taught the gospel. So the things Abraham was doing was the gospel. It was the gospel. Abraham, everything he did was the gospel. Abraham could not do circumcision of the spirit. He did a circumcision by flesh because it was a shadow of the circumcision of the heart. So that his son can bring the circumcision of the spirit. Jesus is the son of God. But Jesus became the son of Abraham because otherwise he could not come and die for his people. So the scripture that says that I came into my own received me not. When you are quoting it, you have to quote it well. Because his own is Judah. He came to his own tribe, Judah, his own brethren, Judah, and they did not receive him. So then as many in the world, the Gentiles, that receive him, to them gave him power so they can become sons of God, so they can become his own. That is what it means. So why did tithe come? Why did it come? The reason why many people refute it and they defile this principle is because they think tithing is enriching someone. So their mindset is that the men of God are becoming rich because they are taking tithe from the people. So we will not pay. And so that is an envy spirit or it's enviousness. Envy spirit. But I have seen something in the Bible, and the reason why even men of God, after everybody, thousands of people will bring their tithes, they will share for them, yet they are not riches because you only see only the top ones. It's because the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. So a man of God who takes and doesn't give himself is poor and broke. As for the church, they are the servants of God, sons of God. So sons are taking care of the servant of their father with the payment of tithe. Tithe is not giving, it is payment. So Abraham paid his tithe of all to Melchizedek. Why is it that God did not allow Abraham to give to the poor people on the earth with his tithe? There were a lot of poor people around Abraham. He could have given it to them. Why was there a need for God to open up the heavens, do a miracle for a whole human being from the heavens? A whole man. He's not a human being, he's a man. Human beings live on the earth. They are men who are not human beings, they live in the heavens. So they are not homo sapiens. But they are men. Like the man Jesus. He's a man, but he's not a homeless up here. Like, do you understand? Like there were spirit beings who visited the earth. There were no homeless up here, but they were men. And the prophets who saw them said, the man. They saw the men. Now let me explain something to you here. Why was there need for God to send Melchizedek to come? Since today we say it is not necessary to give your tithe to any pastor, just give it to the poor people. So, do you mean to tell me that God is not wise? There were a lot of poor people around Abraham, and he did not cause them to receive the tithe of Abraham. But we have to give it to Melchizedek. Why? Why was there a need for him to send the king of Salem? Melchizedek, whose lineage is not of this world, who have no father, no mother, anything, because he dwells in the heavens, to come to the earth and receive tithe. And Jesus' priesthood is measured with Melchizedek. Why? I want to ask the question, why? Why did Melchizedek come with bread and wine? Why? And then he gave Abraham, after blessing Abraham, he blessed Abraham with bread and wine. Which signifies what? Which is a symbol of the death, which is the blood and the body of Jesus Christ, his son. And why was it that Abraham was going to be the one to sacrifice his own son? And God says, keep your son. I will offer a lamb for you to sacrifice of myself. And the Bible says that Jesus was crucified from the foundations of the world, not from the foundations of the earth. So we have to see whose activity, in a symbolic sense, was the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham! So Abraham's children must be the one to crucify Jesus. So it is wrong for us to say the Romans killed Jesus. They didn't kill Jesus. It was the Jews who killed Jesus. It was the Jews and some of the Benjamites and the priests, the Levites, who together killed Jesus. The king that even ordered them to go and do whatever they want, washed his hands off Jesus, the killing of Jesus. And he was a Roman what? King. He was installed there by the Romans. The Romans had taken over the world. They had taken over from the Grecians, the Greeks. So the Romans were the one in charge. It was not any Romans who killed Jesus. As we were told when we were young in the Sunday school. Roman for the good Jesus. It's not Romans. It's his own people. He came into his own rejected and killed him. That's the message. So growing up, we are distorted in the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. So tithe, if you really want to understand it, is a very deep spiritual thing. Very, very deep spiritual thing. And that is why Jesus, when it comes to the foundationals and the fundamentals, he didn't touch on it. Because already given to you by the prophets. So he didn't touch on it. The blood, he didn't explain it because he already touched by the prophets. So when you see the shadow, the original is revealed. Because they were using the lamp with blemish. The lamp of the earth, the lamp. Sheep, goat. But Jesus, a lamp. Without blemish. Took over the sins of the world and was killed. So when they were practicing physically, it was about Jesus. But they didn't have the exact man Jesus. So they had to use symbols to do it. In the shadow. So that when he appears, he would do the perfect one. So the Bible says he has appeared in the last days to put away sin. Once and for all. So all the component that comes with it, he didn't talk about it. And just that he mentioned a few times in the Bible, maybe one or two verses about tithe, where he said, last week I read to you, where he said, why are you doing all these things without leaving the others undone? You should do all of them together. So if you are careful to take tithe of the people, show the people kindness, mercy, and love. He told them, but they were ready to do only one part. So tithe is not law, because it was not given by the law. Now, if you say that because tithe was paid under the law, so we should forfeit it under grace, it means that we should forfeit prayer too under grace. Why? Because they prayed under the law. Didn't they pray under the law? Didn't they give under the law? Why are we practicing giving? People will say, because Jesus said it. Jesus said it. And Jesus didn't say about tithe. Is everything we are practicing in the gospel or in the churches that Jesus said? Let's consider the gospel and consider some of the things we do in the church. And I'll show you that it is not part of the gospel Jesus Christ actually himself preached. But some of the gospel that Paul preached, some of the gospel that the epistles, we see in the epistles, that's what we use. The word bishop is never mentioned in Jesus' gospel. Why do we use it? It's because Paul talked about it. The word pastors was never mentioned by Jesus. The only thing we mention about Jesus is disciples and apostles. Jesus didn't talk about evangelists. Why do we use it? Because Paul talked about it. And we believe that Paul is a man of God. Now, are you seeing hypocrisy? So if it's an institution of God's arm where we teach the people of God, then we must teach the holistic, the fullness of Jesus. And the fullness of Jesus has Abraham to be part. Abraham was waiting, Abraham was on for Jesus. And he came and took them from there to the heavenlies. Created another place, another paradise for them there to rest. So they are resting in Christ. Therefore, the Bible said, therefore it remains that the, he said, therefore, it remains the rest for the people of God. There remained a rest for the people of God. So there is a rest for the people of God. And that rest is Jesus. Because we rest in Christ. The seventh day is the day of the Lord, which he never did anywhere but rested. So that is the day of Jesus. That when he comes, we begin to rest. But as we are here now, we are not in the day of the Lord yet, so we are going to be working. But we only rest in the day of the Lord. That's why, you see, when you understand this fully, you will disprove all those things about first flight and second flight and third flight. I'm telling you. Why? Because it is only in the day of rest that we can be rescued. We have been made. So in the day of the Lord, if somebody says, I'm going to kill the church, Jesus will defend the church. Why? Because he is going to cause us to enter rest. But if the 6 days are not ended, you can enter rest. So when you read the book of Revelation, you say, why would Jesus sit there for the Antichrist and his soldiers to kill the saints and the martyrs? Why? And why would the Bible say they did not even love their life to death? It's because we have not entered rest. Why would he allow his finest prophets, the two witnesses, to be killed? Where was he? And the Bible says, when the assignment was ended, why didn't he still give them his, that would allow their power to operate? Because while their power was in operation, the guy could not touch them. He tried them, he could not. But when their message was ended, then the assignment was ended, he allowed them to kill them. Why? Because in all things, he, Jesus, must take preeminence. He must take preeminence. The one nobody could face, Jesus comes and beats him for us. That's not the way to go. Such as Joshua was the one who carried the people from the fierceness of the battle. That was where they go to the fierceness of the battle. Where they had to contend with the brethren. After they had fought with the Moabites, Balak, and then Balaam held them. So that there's confusion in the camp of the people of God through infiltration of seeds, evil seeds. And Joshua from the mountain had to carry them from that place, which is the deepest part of the wilderness, unto the promised land. And Joshua actually means Jehovah is salvation. And the name of the Lord Jesus is actually Jehovah is my salvation. So as Joshua was the one who carried the people from the wilderness to the promised land, so also the two witnesses who are prophets, and in this last day, because it has no fears, he brings two prophets, one who look like Moses, one that is Elijah, to carry the people to a point. And they still could not carry the people through to the promised land. They themselves were going to the place. But they had to be killed, resurrected under 3.5 days before they were going. But they couldn't take the people of God there. Why? Because they themselves were killed. And they were aided by their father who called them from the earth. So Jesus must be made to come like a lion. Why? Because he's coming for war. The Antichrist is not just a human being. He is a what? He's iron and clay mixed together. So Jesus can carry the people from where Moses or the prophet and Elijah left off to the promised land as Joshua did. The same stream. The Bible is streams. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in our days. There's no new thing under the sun because the shadows have come already. The originals are unfolded. Please, are you hearing my point, somebody? Abraham, who is our father, paid tithes in the shadow. What do you think that his son, the seed, has come and we say we don't believe in tithes? Whereas still, the institution of priests, pastors, clergyhood running the ministry is still there. And they have been dedicated for the work of God. It's insult for somebody to tell me, go and work. Me, go and work for the world. Then the church is doomed. Go and work for somebody. Who is he? Who? Where? You will work with me for where? In the world. How? So you see, but there are people who say they have been caught teaching that way. They have not been caught. They are working for the devil. Because the institution of God, when it is running, the favor of God continue to run. The power of God continue to run. That is why the Antichrist come and say, oh, the church is still powerful after introducing all these sicknesses and diseases. So, I will take the altar off. I will come into the church, sanctuary, and take the altar off. And I will see them from sacrificing to the altar. Then the Bible says, he himself, who seizes the church from sacrificing to the altar and scattering them, he himself goes to sacrifice to the God of the fortress. That is why I'm telling you, the one who is telling you, don't sacrifice your God. He's sacrificing to a God who has eyes, but he can't see. A God who has mouth. They've given the mouth, but he can't speak. A God who has ears, but he can hear. But he's telling you, the church of Jesus Christ, don't sacrifice to God. Don't give. Don't pay tithes. That's the point. So, you see, the point is that the purpose tithe seeks to serve. Tithe was given to the Levites as a portion. Now the Bible says, we don't have spiritual Levites, we don't have Levites now physically. Because Jesus, who gives the priesthood to his tribe, he himself is not a Levite. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he himself, Moses spoke nothing about priesthood, but he's a high priest. The high priest's sons are the priests. And the high priest family is the one that they select. Listen to me. They select the Levites from. The people who must work around. So anybody who is called to work around, they are my family people. Am I talking to somebody here? I wish you understand this. I will get to the epistle or the book of Hebrews about it. But I want to explain something so that when I get there, you understand it. The Bible said, Jesus Christ, who is the high priest, is from the tribe of Judah. Of this tribe, Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. Now, the priesthood was in this wise. The priesthood was chosen out of a family called Levi. So Aaron was a Levite. So Levi had led. Aaron had four sons, and they were consecrated to be priests. Two died, it was left with two. The same way, so when we go to the kingdom of the priesthood, which was controlled by Joshua, by Aaron, Aaron will sit in the throne, the chair, and his two sons will sit by his side, because one is Eleazar Itamar. Two. Jesus is our high priest. So when he sits in the throne, there are two priests of his. One seat to the right, one seat to the left. They are supposed to be from his family. They are a branch of him. Then the family of Moses or Aaron are the ones who are appointed as what? The Levitical family. So if we need a priest, that's where we chose from. If we needed people to serve in the sanctuary, that is where we chose from. So all the church of Jesus Christ, in the Gentile world, we are connected to Jesus as a tribe. So we are all Jewish, spiritual Jewish. Not physical, because physically, you are not connected to Abraham physically. But you are connected to Abraham spiritually. And your connection to Abraham is not direct to Abraham, but it is through his son Jesus. Because Jesus is of the tribe of what? Judah. So all the churches of Jesus Christ in the Gentile world are connected to Jesus as a tribe of Jew. And eventually to Abraham. So when Abraham looks at all his children, who is an elder of the earth? But he didn't have the power to take over the earth. Why? Because he was a human being, a homo sapiens. Spirit living in a body, a spirit of judgment, but was not made perfect. So he waited for his son to make him perfect and left all judgment to Jesus, his son. That is the meaning. So the covenant was with Abraham and his seed. And the papa did a lot of things. Do you think his son will come and disprove his father? No. He said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Are you Abraham's children? Do you do the works of Abraham? Okay, then you are Abraham's children. Then you belong to the seed. And Abraham did not serve God by law. He served God by faith. The same one. Because Abraham believed in his son. Abraham believed in what? His son. When he was going to kill his son did not speak. He was quiet unto death. God who commanded him, Abraham, don't touch that blood. For I will provide a lamb for myself for the sacrifice. Jesus was provided by God to Abraham as a son for the sacrifice. So Abraham adopted Jesus, and Jesus said, then I will adopt the Gentiles. So we are crying out, Abba Father, of the adoption. We have been adopted to God through Jesus Christ. And we come and say, we are not doing this. Hey! You are privileged. If it was not Jesus, you were not connected to Abraham. But what has given you the connection is the Lord Jesus. That is why you must love him unconditionally. Even if Jesus said, come and put your head and let me cut it, you need to rush and do it. Why? Because he that has brought you closer, so you will not be condemned to hell, is Jesus. Anybody that practices the law who is a Gentile, you are not actually normal. Why? Because the law was practiced, the law was practiced, okay, only by Abraham's children under Moses. The Bible said they were all baptized into Moses. The power of God is so strong on my mouth, it's actually peeling off my mouth. Labor is so tangible. They were actually, all of them were baptized into Moses. Who of you here have been baptized into Moses? Which one of the Gentiles have been baptized? So why do you practice the law? And somebody said, hey, what about Abraham did not live under the law. 430 years later, the law came. So the Bible is so true. And these things that I'm talking about, they are codified here. Even this one I'm talking to you about, read the book of Romans, you will see it there. I have quoted the scripture over and over to you. Now people are now trying to search it. Is it true? It's true. It's in the Bible. It is not your mind that measures the truth. It's the word of God that measures the truth. The truth is in Jesus, not you. Clap your hands and appreciate Jesus. Power will flow today in Jesus' name. Power is flowing today in the name of Jesus. Apostle, read the book of Matthew chapter 23 verse 20. I gave you a scripture to read for me. Please read that one for me quickly.
John.
Thank you, Father.
John chapter 8 verse 37.
Yes.
I know that you are Abraham's descendants.
Yes.
But you seek to kill me.
I know that you are Abraham's descendant, But you seek to kill me.
Yeah.
Because my word has no place in you.
Because my words, as Abraham's seed, has no place in you. This is how Abraham's seed is measured. Let's go ahead.
I speak in with my father.
I speak
what I've seen with my father. And
yes.
You do what you have seen with your father.
I speak what I have seen with my father. You do what you have seen with your father. Now, he is coming to group fatherhood now. So it is about fathers. I speak what I've seen with my father. You also speak what you have seen with your own father. Let's see. He said, but I know you are Abraham's descendant. But he didn't say you are Abraham's children. Because Abraham also had slaves living under him. Let's go ahead.
He answered and said to him,
yes.
Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham
because you would see me, that I'm the senior son of Abraham. You would see that I'm Judah. You would see that I'm the one who brought my throne for David to sit upon, to wait for my coming. And David in the spirit said, I said to my Lord to say to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. He said, David is dead and gone. Why? Of whom did he speak about? He spoke about the Lord, his master, his son. He said, I'm the son of David. Son of David, have mercy. And Jesus was not offended. Why? In the realm of the spirit, David cannot look at Jesus and call Jesus my son. But when it comes to the realm of the earth, Jesus is the son of David. And when it is true in the earth, it's true in the spirit and heaven. Do you know why? Because David is an elder. He sits as an elder in the throne of his son Jesus. If your son becomes a king, can you just go and disrespect him? Assuming Otumfo's mother or father is around. You are my father, all right, but I am the king. Are we together? You are my senior brother, but I am the king. That's how kingship are measured. A brother can mess up and the king will cut off your head. Solomon was younger than Adonijah. Absalom and the rest were dead. Adonijah. But Adonijah came to bow to him when he heard that David had made him king. And still Adonijah was killed. Why? Because he requested the servant from the house. Because he wanted to make an alliance and marry her so that through that he can invade the palace. So Solomon thought ahead of him. I said, I don't need you alive. You are a threat to the kingdom of God. I want you to understand the scriptures. They are very dicey, but very understanding. Very diverse. That's what I want to say. Now, please read on. If Abraham was your father, you would do what?
The works of Abraham.
You would do what are the works of Abraham? Somebody should go home and list all the works of Abraham. Every work of Abraham was done by faith, not by law, because he didn't know the law. Abraham had no idea of the law. Even though he was told, your children will be in servitude. Your children will be in servitude. Rabba kashata kabada bashata. Leboko sivi kabada hashata. Please, are you hearing me, somebody? Thank you, Lord. See, I'm blessed. See, I'm highly favored. Thank you, Jesus. So go to the second scripture for me. I quoted the second scripture. Matthew 23, verse 23. So Matthew. The people were not Abraham's sons. They were not Abraham's children. But they were Abraham's descendants. They had mixed themselves. They didn't have the spirit of Abraham. So Jesus said, if Abraham was your father, only one thing that I will identify with you. You will love me and do the works of Abraham. So anybody today who disproves and disputes about the works of Abraham, it's not Abraham's child. He's not of the seed. He's just pretending he's a son of God. He's part of Jesus' generation. He's not. He's a false person. If you are the son of Abraham,
you will do the works of Abraham. Because Jesus is the son of Abraham. David is the son of Abraham. Because he's the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of David. The God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, period. So all of us are included in Jesus. All the other tribes, the 10 tribes and the Levitical tribe, they are all supposed to be in Christ. So when they rejected Jesus, in the end time, he says, a remnant of them shall be saved. Who will come into Christ? Without Christ, they are cut off. No excuse. Nothing stands alone. Because all of them have been engrafted into the seed. The seed is Christ. The seed is the vine. That is what it means. Please read on for me quickly.
Matthew 23, verse 23.
Yes, sir.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees.
Hypocrites.
You are hypocrites.
For you pay tithe of mint and anise.
So you pay tithe of mint. This is the argument of many people who don't understand the scripture. You pay tithe of what? Mint and anise.
And cumin.
And cumin.
And have neglected the weightier matters
of the law. But you have neglected the weightier matters of the law. So they are very careful to pay tithe of fragrance. Pay, when somebody comes to the church with mint is a leaf, a scented leaf. We use it for tea. For medicinal purposes. So they pay tithe of every detailed thing that comes to the church, that comes to the synagogue. But they refuse to share bread for the widows. They refuse to defend the fatherless. When you are rich in the church at the time, that's when they defend you. When you are poor, they neglect you and cast you out. Jesus said, in my kingdom is injustice. For the throne of grace doesn't see tithe there, but it sees justice and judgment. Justice and judgment. And you are connected to the throne of grace by faith. So they've neglected the weightier matters of the law, which is what? Which the law, everything the law was working about was unto the throne. And the throne is justice and judgment. And connection to the throne is faith. So come boldly to the throne of grace. So you obtain what? Mercy. So that you can what? Find grace in time of need. So you use mercy to find grace. Without being merciful, no grace will happen. So men of God who want grace, they want grace to operate with. But they suspect the people of God, there will not be any grace. Because you are going to use the grace on the people of God. You don't respect them. Somebody say, you don't boogie them. You don't even spend time praying for them. Yet you want power to operate. Where? Animals? Maybe you want to go to the forest. If this is the same people of God you want to operate in, or you want to operate on, then you need to intercede for them, love them, cherish them. When they make mistakes, correct them. And live with them and let them progress. You don't care about the welfare of the people, yet you want grace. You don't know that grace works by mercy. So it is mercy that fetches you grace. When you get closer to grace, you grow in grace. Through the knowledge of God and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By faith. It is faith that makes the thing. When you have passed by mercy to the place. Sometimes in our ministry, when we start service, we pray a lot, 1 hour, thanking God for mercy, and people think it's useless. No. That is why a lot of people don't understand the progress. They've cursed me. They've chastised me. They've gone to visit places, killed animals. Sometimes they throw them here. As the pastors are praying, people just throw something, bah! And they've cut bears into two so that they will cut my half. So the more they cut, the more I increase. You know what? I go to the room and say, Father, forgive them. Mano shata. Rebede shete. The one who defends me is Jesus Christ. He's stronger than you. He's greater than you. He's mightier than you. Do you know why? He's the owner of the earth. You did not die. He died. Your tutu doesn't make sense to me. What makes sense to me is the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Are you hearing my point, somebody? Come on with some things. If it didn't work, come with cows. Come with human beings. They will work. They will not. Why? Because the blood that is speaking is the blood, eternal blood of Jesus. He's speaking better things. Are you hearing my point, somebody?
That is why I said, you say, oh, why is he prospering? Because everybody must come and pass through this place before. They are dead this, if you don't do this. So why is it that he didn't come through by his prospering? So let's limit him. Hey, the one who sent me is greater than you. He's greater than your fathers. Are you hearing me, somebody? My father who called me by name, John, and sent me is greater. He knows that when if my mother had given me her own name, he would have kept that name. So he gave me his own name. You don't understand the name John. You don't understand it. Called Abashata. Who told you can curse the name? There's no curse, enchantment that would stand against John will prosper. For John, you don't understand, stand grace. Karabasha! You know the meaning of John. I'm giving you the revelation. If you like, go and curse it. Bring all the chanters of the world. We curse this name. The more they curse, the more I'm shining. Kadabosha. Then they in turn will just see it shining and they will bow. The name John is attached direct to Jesus Christ. It's by the throne. It's not anywhere. Are you hearing me, somebody? You don't believe, but if you believe, you are blessed. The kingdom works by faith. Say by faith. Adabos, say take your heart. Who knows who gave the name Elijah to Elijah? You are joking. Do you know the meaning of Elijah? If you knew, you would not have that was Yada. Find out the name Elijah. This is not transliterated name. This is not the name in Hebrew and you translate it. No. The original name, the actual meaning of the name. That's what I'm talking about. Who knows the name Elijah? Power. I feel power here. Somebody clap your hands and appreciate Jesus. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus is exalted. Hallelujah. Apostle, read for me. That's what you had about Shanda.
For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin.
Yes.
And have neglected the weightier matters of the law.
They have neglected the weightier matters of the law.
Justice and mercy and faith.
Justice and what?
Mercy and faith.
And what? Say justice.
Justice.
Mercy.
Mercy
and faith.
Faith.
So in the church setting, we need to have mercy upon people, mercy on ourselves, mercy upon people, mercy on human beings. When they fault us, we have to forgive them. It's an expression of mercy, pity. When you give to the poor, you are being merciful. You don't give to the poor unwanted things you don't want, your children don't want. That is what you give to the poor. No, there's no mercy in that. You clothe the people who are poor. You take care of the poor widows. You take care of the fatherless, the needy. You are being merciful. Somebody doesn't have among you, when we close church, is going to walk. There's a system the church has. You go to the registry, you say, I'm going to walk. They say, really? Wait for us. Money should not stop you from worshiping God. Because money is the God of the world. You can't serve God and serve mammon. Mammon is the spirit of money. So money is ashamed. That's why we put money they worship upon our altar. We bring it into subjection to our God. That's what it means. That's what it means. Substance, riches of this world. It's called mammon. So we don't neglect the weightier matters of the law. So if you neglect it and then you bring the tithe, the Lord says it's useless. Have mercy, do justice, and then bring your tithe. It will be accepted. Many church people have been paying tithe. Sometimes they pay 9%, 8%. This is what we pay, but it's not up to the 10%. Tithe means 10th. It doesn't mean otherwise. So if you want to do it well. If you don't want to do it, that is when people give excuses and explanations. I want to talk to you about tithe. Listen. I'm sent from God, and I've been witnessing to you that I'm sent from God. I'm not sent from the earth, no. I did not even receive my assignment on the earth. Well, even as a man, I was taken to the heavens, and I called the Bashata. Time would not permit me to describe the scene and the experience. And then he that sent me, the one who teaches me to teach you. You see people dispute, and say, you don't understand. Jesus came, people disputed, so I don't worry my head. But the people who disputed with Jesus later saw, oh, he's the Son of God. It was too late for them. That is what people are doing. If I didn't say that I was sent, your sins of doing against me will still be upon me because I didn't tell you. I've told you. Therefore, it shall not be upon my head. No, because I told you I was sent. I didn't say myself. The things I'm preaching, they are not mine. They are from the Lord. The master who sent me. The one who sent me is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who came to the earth to die. He was buried. The third day he resurrected. Ascended. And then sat. He's the one that I'm talking about.
Hallelujah.
Is it the Lord Jesus you are worshipping? That's the Jesus I'm talking about. He's my Lord. My Savior. My Adoshika Bahayash. Am I talking to people who are
yes,
who believe
sir.
Here? Thank you, Father. Lift up your hands and wave it to them. Say, Father, thank you for blessing me. In Jesus' name. Kadabash. Clap your hands and say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm highly favored of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Glory. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So please, I just need you to understand it. That in the gospel, Titus was mentioned. The fact that it was not mentioned in several places doesn't mean that, you know, it wasn't mentioned. Jesus knew about it. There are people who say, because he didn't teach about it, we will not do it. Now, Jesus taught the realms of the spirit, right? He mentioned the realm of God, right? Jesus mentioned visions, dreams, prophetic directions, right? Huh? He mentioned it. Are you sure? Show me the scripture. You see? I'm being cheeky here, yes. Because Jesus did not teach about it, so we will not pay tithe. If that is your measurement, you don't have to use oil. You don't have to use oil. You only have to touch hems of people's garments. If you are blind, you just have to mix saliva with earth and plaster your eyes. The sockets of your eyes, you will see. When you come to church and you want wine, let's fetch you water. Bless it and start drinking it. In fact, it's not even drinking water. Fetching water that is used to wash feet. Because that's the water Jesus blessed for the people to drink. It was water by the gates where they washed their feet with. So this one comes and fetch and wash their feet. That's the water. That's the kind that the Bible said Jesus said, fill it. And they filled it. Read your Bible carefully. When they filled it, he said, go fetch it. He didn't say anything again. When they filled it, he said, go and fetch it to the master of the ceremony. So the people to fetch it. Look at the faith they had. They didn't question Jesus because Mary told them, whatever he tells you, do it. Mary was not the master of ceremony. Mary, his mother, was not the owner of the feast. But he said, whatever he tells you, do it. Read the word carefully. It was actually dirty water that they were using to wash feet, people's feet. The Bible said it was a purification water. So when you are entering somebody's house, you needed to purify yourself according to the traditions of the Hebrew people. You wash your feet. You wash this side and wash this side. That's what other people are picked. You wash this side maybe 5 times or this side 5 times. And then you enter into the place. So anywhere you were going, you washed. Jesus was one day going to eat with one of the pop Republicans. He didn't wash his feet and his hands. And he started eating. And the people said, how is it that you are a man of God but you don't wash? Jesus said, listen, you keep the cup of the outside clean. And leave the inside. You, I didn't wash my hands physically, the outside of the cup. But inside of my cup is clean. You, the inside of your cup is dirty. But you have washed the outside one. Which one is healthier? Do you drink inside the cup or you drink outside the cup? Jesus said, do you drink inside the cup or you drink outside the cup? Inside the cup. Which one is dirtier? It was a dirty. Imagine me today, I tell you that the water you wash your hands with, COVID-19 protocol, go and fetch it and drink. A lot of you will start murmuring. So you think we need miracles, so we should go and do this. Abba. But listen, faith defiles the order of the earth. Faith claims what you expect has already happened. Get aligned. So God says, at this moment, I put the faith in this water. That is what it is, the miraculous hour of the day. If you don't fetch it, you lose miracles. So faith operation doesn't make sense to the senses. So that is why common sense cannot measure faith. When we are talking faith, we don't talk common sense. We give instructions because we are building your faith. If your faith is up there, we don't give instructions anymore. Why? Because you go for it. Period. There's no explanations again. I want to bless you. That you will understand the operations of faith in Jesus' name. So in this end time here, in this dispensation, we pay tithe by faith, not by law. Malachi, next week I will go into the prophetic, tithe in the prophets. And I will reveal to you tithe, which is in the prophet. Then I will go to the book of Hebrews to conclude it. And I will ask you something about, the Bible says, the righteous garment is the good works of the saints. So, a tithe part of the good works. If Abraham was your father, you would do the works of Abraham. It was good works because it was works of faith. James said, show me your faith. I will show you my faith with my works. Because faith produces works. If I say be healed by faith and you are healed, it is what? The work of faith that produces the works of faith. Faith produces works of faith. And these are called good works. Even if you pray, it's a work of faith. But it produces manifestation. So, the manifestation of faith in prayer is the resource and testimonies you get. So, when you are praying, the Bible says, if faith is not mixed with your prayer, it is as useless as making noise. Who has faith to pray? The Bible says, if you have faith, like the mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be removed, and it shall be removed. Sometimes we spiritualize the mountain, but Jesus was talking about physical mountain. Because what he dealt with, and the people were saying, wow, Jesus, you cast the tree, and the tree is withered. It was a physical thing. So when men of God cannot prove physical things with faith and say, Jesus was not literally, he was not talking literally, he was talking spiritually. He was talking both literally and spiritually. He had cursed a tree, and the tree was cursed from the root. And the people were pointing him to the tree that was cursed. Physical tree. That Jesus, the tree, look, the tree you cursed from the root, is dried up. Then Jesus said, have faith in God. For if you have faith like a mustard seed, you will not only speak to this tree, but you also speak to this mountain. Be removed here to yonder, and it will obey you. Why? Because Jesus spoke of it. Because in the end times, when he comes, he's going to move physical mountains and create two mountains and put the Zion on it. So we are mountain movers in Jesus' name. The two witnesses come to demonstrate it. That's what the Bible says, in the days of his power. The people shall be willing. Do you know what they will do? They will come around and say, the confusion in the earth, it will start. They will say, hey, let not be rain for 3.5 years, it will happen. They will come and speak to mountains and the mountains will quake. Even their revelation brought glaciers melting. Marosha, they are Manoshi Kibaha. When they are stirring themselves up and trying to blow the trumpet and gather the people together. Here you see water higher. After the upper, I told you there will be signs. Now, everywhere in Europe that has not been flooded. Everywhere in China, in Asia that have not been flooded. They are all flooding and the flood is unprecedented. Do you know why? They can't understand it. They can't know it. It has rained better than this one. But what is happening is that there are people doing the work. Hallelujah! These two people, they are the most dangerous people, Hadabosha, ever to live upon the earth apart from Jesus. You don't understand it. Are you hearing my point, somebody? Oh, Yabaha. The first coming of Elijah was, it was how? How was it? Much less the second coming of Elijah. That is why no Jezebel is going to chase Elijah. Oh, Paya, the killers of Jezebel have come. Are you hearing my point? The ones who molested the prophet, kept the prophet in caves. We came and we saw. They have kept the prophet in bondage. They have molested them. They have slept with them. They conquered them. Anosha. These are the people they say we should submit to. No, we came to liberate you. We don't submit. Are you here? somebody help Poyata. Salene to Lapa Atenisha. Pra Nikotash. Very soon you shall see. Kobo Shenimataha. That our words did not come with enticing words of man's wisdom. Our words came to you. Rabasha, with power. I speak in the name of Jesus. If you are sick in any part of your body, rise up and walk. Right now in the name of Jesus. Let the name of my Jesus be exalted in your body. Clap hands and shout amen.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.